Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting with Keyshawn Johnson. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We've had a lot of name, image, likeness conversation, obviously, over the course of the last 24 hours, as we're watching NCAA athletics change in front of our eyes, the entire scope of it. And one of the things I think we've done in the process of our discussions is tried to have conversations about other sports. It's not always just about football. We've talked a little bit about what it means for other athletes. But one sport that I think maybe we've all slept on a little bit and the impact this has is specifically college basketball, because college basketball over the last few years has found competition. There isn't competition, right, for college football. But college basketball has turned around and had to deal with the G League and what can happen there. They've had to deal with European opportunities to play. I mean, you can look at the opportunities now for the best of the best. I'm only talking about the top
elite
six players that are being recruited. But those players now have options that can pay them six figures to play somewhere other than college. The question is, Key, like, should we be looking at name, image, likeness saying this could actually be a savior for college basketball, because now the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Carolinas can compete with the G Leagues when it comes to finding ways to get some people some cash?
I think all Power Five blue blood type programs certainly can now, right? You have relationships that are attached to your university that you can reach out to, because they've been doing it anyway. But now they can do it legally and not have to worry about sanctions being imposed on them. And that just seems like the easier way to go. So I think the college basketball coaches could breathe a little bit easier, unless there's something I'm missing that says they're not allowed to attach themselves to some sort of individual who happens to be an alum who owns a company that can, you know, get involved,
why,
so to speak.
While you're playing, it actually also benefits the NCAA when you talk college basketball specifically.
Yeah.
The biggest cash cow of the NCAA is March Madness.
Yeah.
And so now, literally, it was funny, we had Jackson Moffitt and Matthew Meyer of Baylor men's basketball on my podcast, and the two are called the Moffitt Bros. Now, under NIL, they can benefit and make money off the little merchandise that they've created and all that. But when we had them on the pod, they specifically talked about how their following grew from the NCAA tournament in particular, right? And so now, by trickle-down effect, if my blue bloods are retaining the top athletes, the Zions, the Jadens, so on and so forth, and they get to the NCAA tournament, NCAA, like, can't be too mad at this, because ultimately this is your pocketbook too.
Yeah, I think that's such a great and huge part of this, Monica, because you start thinking about the way the conversation goes for college basketball. We work a lot in that space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at last year, going into the tournament, you find the two or three guys that everybody's paying attention to,
yep,
and you'll see them on every show. Like, that's what we do. And you know, in a Zion-less world, one of the big questions around college basketball was, who's going to step in and be the next Zion that we can market? And that changes every year or two, right? But in a one-and-done world, you have such a limited time to actually tell the story,
yeah,
of these kids, that if you can not only tell the story, but you also know that said company is going to be running these ads for them, and like they're going to also be part of this commercial campaign, and all of a sudden, just brand partners that are already around the NCAA tournament will help tell the stories of college basketball players better. That's better profile for the athletes, but it's also better profile for the sport, and it gets more people to care when we get into like conference tournament time, when everybody wakes up and realizes, oh my God, I haven't been watching this, and I got to figure out all of these different players.
And Monica's right about, it helps out the NCAA in the Sweet 16. But it puts everybody, like, think about it. It's players that decide to go to the Power Five blue blood schools, the smaller schools now can play. They can play in this pool because if you think about it, you go to a small market type college team that may not have a big basketball resume at the school, but within that region or within that town, there's somebody who says, hey, we really like Johnny Boy, and we want him to be one of our guys out front for us to advertise, to market, whatever the case is. That sounds good. Because if I'm now a guy who didn't get the scholarship to Kentucky or Duke or Louisville or Michigan, but I got the scholarship to a smaller school, and I play the same position as one of those guys that they took, and I can make money, and I know I'm essentially a one and done, and I go to like Dayton, Ohio, and I'm playing for Dayton. That's big time in all of that area.
It's funny, Key, because as you were talking, a rabbit hole, follow me. Just not a deep rabbit hole, but just follow me a little bit, y'all. We've seen already with this generation, and I'm blank, McCourt Maker, his willingness to go to Howard, right? Mm-hmm. He's now going to the league. He's a one and done. I wonder if there's a world in which, you know, X AAU team from whatever area, y'all, let's go play together. The money's not an issue. Let's go make history at some universe. You know what I mean? Like, I just wonder how, yes, it's going to be great for the Blue Bloods, and I'm sure that they yield most of the marketing power in terms of marketability as this thing changes. But if you've got a group of kids that are, we one and done anyway, let's go turn this thing on its head, go to another institution that is unlikely to be a basketball powerhouse, you build a darling for the NCAA.
And I'm sure it's going to help. I'm sure it's going to help the HBCUs as well.
Absolutely.
Because in certain areas with HBCUs in Atlanta or D.C. or whatever, there's people that they could market to within that region that certainly will be like, okay, yeah,
the
we can
HBCU,
now play.
You, Key, this could get really
especially
interesting.
Because so many young athletes right now coming up in the high school level, and I will say around basketball particularly, are socially charged. Right?
Exactly.
Like this matters to the next generation of athletes. Like using your voice for something other than just being an athlete is important to the rising, right? So if it's important to the kids that are coming up,
is it a cap on how much money they can make?
No. There's no cap on.
Now, granted, we do admit there's still that elite level who have a chance to make millions of dollars. But if the pressure of money is no longer taken off now, and I may not need a mill, I just need to, again, I'm a one and done kid, I just need enough to get my family straight, get myself straight, get through school. I just wonder. Like, I just wonder how much of a game changer this becomes with kids that are far more actively involved in what is going on in society.
And a lot of it, much like Monica saying, it's about the one and done's 6 months economically. Mm-hmm. What can I do right now for these next 6 or 7 months to support my family? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality of it. When I was from a personal standpoint, I decided to go back to school my junior year. I could have come out and been a top whatever pick in everything else. But I made a decision based on my mother wanted me to graduate from school. She said, "You're so close, go back to school and graduate. I've been broke for this long. I'll continue to stay broke." Like that was what she said. And I was like, "No, I really want to bounce." And she's like, "No, just go back to school. You know, you only got about 6 months till payday." And so my whole thing was to stay healthy. But at that time, this decision I think would have been much, much easier to go back to school if I was able to sign with Adidas earlier. Or sign with,
that's a good point too.
You know, Starbucks earlier or something like that, or Oakley glasses earlier.
So this goes to the point yesterday then.
Okay.
Because remember, you one of your strong points, and I know we're all proponents of this, but one of your concerns is that it becomes a distraction and guys that are supposed to be playing on Sunday, talking NFL specifically, may lose their focus. But to your point, what you just said, it also could potentially be a training ground and an opportunity to give guys a little bit more wiggle room to lift some of the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
And
yeah.
I think also it's and we're about to hop over and get some expertise on this quickly.
Sleeping in that 2-bedroom with 8 people wasn't fun.
I mean, I think for me too, like as much as we talk about the elite prospects, uh-huh. There's a great article on .com about some of the college football cities that could benefit from this, but I would apply that to basketball too. Like if you're a middle of the road prospect picking between a bunch of schools, if Nebraska wants to go hard at you and they got a bunch of local businesses, that can be the difference. It helps you get that star, whatever, that 3-star that helps your program become a little more relevant. So I think it trickles all the way down. Let's get some reaction to this and everything happening in the NBA right now from one of the greats. Vince Carter, 8-time NBA All-Star, ESPN NBA analyst, joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Vince, appreciate you joining us. Happy 4th of July weekend, man. Let's start with name, image, likeness. You just heard, I think, some of our college basketball conversation. Does this realistically, in your mind, help NCAA basketball compete with the G League?
Man, first of all, let me say this. I'm too old. I was born at the wrong time, man. I tell you what. This is a great opportunity for young kids. And, there's a lot of avenues and arms and legs that can go to this because, I mean, you can get young kids now to stay in school a little longer, get their education, you know, and all
not
that.
Air quotes,
because you can – come on, man. I come from an educational family, you know, so my mom will be proud to hear me say that. So I got that out of the way. But I think this is, you know, a great opportunity for, like you said, young guys to make money. And it's great for organizations. You keep guys, you keep teams. You can see better basketball in college instead of one and done. So yeah, some of these guys are still going to go one and done because of the opportunity and how good they are. But money generated for these young guys now is just great. Let's think about the Fab Five. Think about how much money that group of those five would have made in their time because of the baggy shorts and then the black socks. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hey, VC, what was your reaction to last night's Milwaukee Bucks, Atlanta Hawks game?
Falcons. Oh, he's speaking like a football player. Look at you. No, I tell you, man, the reaction, it was about the response. How will the Milwaukee Bucks respond to the way the Atlanta Hawks hit them in the mouth without Trae Young from start to finish? And they responded. Jrue Holiday, first play of the game, straight to the post. Elbow, jump hook. Chris Middleton follows, and then Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis. 55 points, 15 rebounds, well, four blocks, mostly from Brooke Lopez. Took over the paint, dominated. They scored 30 more points in the paint than the Atlanta Hawks. That said it all right there.
How could Atlanta win this series? If they can.
Well, they're gonna have to make shots. They're gonna have to defend better, and you're gonna need Trae Young. And you know, you want Trae Young as healthy as possible. You don't want him to risk injury. I understand that. So it's about pain tolerance. Can he play the game and you know, with a little bit of pain? I think he gives them a jolt of energy. Yes, they were able to figure it out without him one game, but the Bucks were able to make adjustments and go back home. Now they get some home cooking again. They're going to have to make shots, and they're going to have to defend better. So Trae Young helps that. We'll see.
Man, VC, for all that the Hawks struggled with last night, it was still a ball game. We've been talking loudly with great volume on this show this morning. Were you impressed with the Bucks last night, or are you like me in the camp of that's what they were supposed to do?
Yes and no. I was impressed because you look at it, you say Jrue Holiday. If you play like that, there should be no question. Sorry, you should be no question. Brooke Lopez, if you play like that, there should be no question. So I was impressed with the fact that they changed their game plan up overnight. Now we're going to play bully ball. We're going to get in the paint and beat you up. You know, and that created open shots. Now, three-point shots, yeah, it's not contested. You're wearing them down. They wore them down. Yes, the first 5 minutes on the road, if you're the Hawks, you said, hey, weather the storm. And then we'll get ourselves back in it. They did not allow them to get. Yes, they got the 7 points, I think. They got it close, and then it just started to take off back to double digits. So, yes, I was impressed with the way they played that game and changed their game plan to bully ball.
We're talking to Vince Carter, ESPN NBA analyst, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz in with Keyshawn. I'm really just happy that Vince Carter just agreed with me. Because I'm a troll at the end. I'm a child. We all know this. All right. So my question for you is about energy, because you mentioned they came out with this sort of impact, and we've talked about it all series. Like, that's been inconsistent. Who's responsible for getting a team to bring consistent levels of energy every single night?
I mean, you want your star player to bring energy, but, like, they have an energy guy in Bobby Portis. They saw the energy he brought even in game, what is that, four? In game four, and then he brought it in game five. So I think Bobby Portis is the battery pack for their team right now. He's the guy that brings the energy, the toughness. He's going to get in your face. He's going to push you. He's going to throw you down. And that was – I mean, now what that has done – is you can actually give Giannis another game of a day of rest. Honestly, you know, they bought themselves some time. Yes, you want to close this out because you don't want to give the Hawks any daylight. But if Giannis is not healthy, do you want to risk him going down a la AD and not having him? So I think somebody like Bobby Portis, they have to find out who's going to match his energy or the Hawks can go home.
VC, what do you think about the Suns advancing? Was that one of your teams? Did you had a stint with the Suns too,
them.
Right?
Yeah, I played them. Yeah, briefly.
What do you think about Chris Paul and the Suns advancing to the finals for the first time since the Barkley era?
I mean, I think it's unbelievable what they've done. I mean, I look back at the bubble, 8-0 in the bubble, And we did not know, okay, where do they go from here? What's going to happen the next season? You get Chris Paul, you're like, oh, man. And what he's done for Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton has been unbelievable. They've elevated their game, and these guys are not playing like it's their first time in the NBA play in the playoffs in general. And now look at them; they're in the finals. So I mean, it just regardless of the legacy, you hear people talk about legacy, and this his legacy is on the line. What Chris Paul has done for teams every stop says it all, and is enough. This is just adding to his legacy. If they, I mean, going to the finals, and of course, if they win,
Man, everybody, how can you not be happy for Chris Paul, right? You see, all right, so let's talk.
He's an old school. He's an old guy. You got to be happy for the old guys,
yeah,
man. Come
I just
on,
think
man.
It's
that
such
man
a,
put up 40.
Yeah, he did. It's such a great story in terms of how long it took, his perseverance, all the people that he's had the opportunity to prove wrong. But let's talk potential matchups for the Phoenix Suns, both potentially without their superstars. If neither Giannis or Trey return, first, who you got coming out of that series, and then what does that look like against the Suns?
I mean, it's hard to go against my Hawks right now. You know, I just left there, so to go against them. But I personally think Phoenix-Milwaukee will be a great series. Will be a great series. Without Giannis, and then you add Giannis, you give Milwaukee the edge because he's a tough cover. And if they play the brand of basketball we saw in Game 5, now adding Giannis –
But VC, I don't think they play that game of basketball with Giannis.
No,
on the floor.
I agree with you. I said if. No, I agree.
But that's a bad thing in my mind. That's what I'm saying. That's a bad thing in my mind. It feels like yesterday we saw people in the right position as opposed to Giannis playing the one.
And then that's the thing with if they're talking about Brooke Lopez, he could play in the post a lot. Well, they feature Giannis in the post. And today's game, they want to make sure Giannis has as much space as possible, mm-hmm. so that's why you put four guys outside. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. now that puts Brooke Lopez to the four, if you would. Yeah, he's 7'1". He's like, he's shooting threes. Well, there's a reason why. Mm-hmm. Old school basketball, you had Tim Duncan on one block, you had David Robinson on the other block. You had Ralph Sampson and Olajuwon. You know, you had that. That's not today's game, unfortunately. So it frustrates the old school players because they're used to seeing two bigs and you have a 7-foot guy who now shows that he can do this in the post. You're just like, well, then put him down there. Well, if you put him down there, you put Giannis on the perimeter. Now
it
what?
It doesn't work, right.
Now
right.
what? If I'm guarding Giannis, I'm sinking. Yeah,
100%.
Please shoot, Giannis.
By all means.
You understand what I'm saying?
100%.
So, exactly. By all means, you may have this 3-point shot.
Absolutely.
And if you make a few, okay, I hope you shoot another one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's just the way it goes. So, you just put in a 7-foot-1 guy who is now playing the 4, if you would, technically. And that's just the way the game is now, unfortunately.
VC, I got a couple things for you before I let you go because I know you're trying to make a comeback, man. You got your fingers all taped.
I saw that.
You've been doing something, man.
I'm not going to even tell you. I'm not going to even tell you how this happened, so don't worry about it.
No,
it wasn't basketball.
Please tell us.
well, you never know. You might be trying to make a comeback or something back there. I don't know. But let me ask you this one real quick, though. Let me see if you know. More all-star appearances for you or more teams?
How are you going to ask him about himself?
Because he should know.
Duh.
I'm tied. It's the same.
See, he know. Right, there you go.
Oh, you should have given him our blind
eight.
Resume.
You 8-8. No, yeah, okay. I just wanted to know if you knew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah, I
why would he not know his own history? Whose idea was that?
Well, I do what the producers say sometimes.
Vince, sorry. Wait, I apologize on behalf of the show.
The producer,
the producer
put it up on my board and was like, hey, why don't you ask him about this one?
We apologize. That was not
Vince,
what
I just do what I'm told. That's
Ron Burgundy. Keys Ron Burgundy. You put anything on the screen, he's going to read it, Vince. I apologize.
Wow. Vince Carter, A, you're amazing. B, thank you for hanging out with us. C, have an incredible 4th of July weekend,
guys.
Man. We appreciate you, my friend.
Happy 4th you guys, man.
Y'all
be good.
I mean, by the way, like just
guys, that's embarrassing. Let's not do that again.
Do what?
Why do we ask that man about his own history?
Man, that's what
Well, maybe some people like Evan, maybe
minus 10 points for our producer.
Wow. There's a number system here? Like,
yeah, arbitrary. Minus 8-8, minus 16 points for our producer.
I hope it's golf scoring because I'm way in the negative.
I'm just quickly curious, now that Vince Carter has agreed with
me. Oh, my God. Leave me alone. Go to
break.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I don't want to talk about this.
It doesn't even matter.
But I don't think he agreed.
No, he definitely agreed.
He did agree with Fitz. Yeah, I'm not impressed.
Wow.
Sorry.
That should be on my tombstone. I'm not impressed. All right. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Finally, your turn to weigh in on NIL. You guys are fired up about name, image, likeness. So we'll let you get in on the show next. KJZ on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now you've got compliance officers at every school that are going to be trying to figure out what's okay, what's not okay, the involvement of outside parties.
Whether you think this is good, bad, or indifferent, it is changing.
Show me the money!
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM, Channel 80. Also, ESPN News, KJZ, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting here with Keyshawn Johnson.
Who's picking the Friday music? It's good. I like it.
Right.
You're welcome.
It's an endorsement. We'll find out. Don't forget to tune in to it. I got bills to pay here.
Be quiet.
Tune into an interleague battle Sunday as the Yankees host the Mets, presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Look at that. Now we got all the bills paid. We can get back to the fun and the madness. And name, image, likeness is creating all sorts of stir. We've talked about it a lot on the show. You guys are chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, before we get into any name, image, likeness calls, because you guys are going to chime in really quickly, only because every time I've ever taken calls on this, there are some misconceptions. Schools are not specifically writing checks for players to play their respective sport. So this is not USC saying, come here and we'll pay you $1 million.
Why you got to use us?
Just because you were in front of
me. Why don't you use...
This is not Georgetown saying, you know what, we're going to...
Whoa. Why don't you use...
This is not Juilliard?
Duke,
yeah, because everybody hates Duke. This is not Duke deciding that they're going to pay somebody $1 million to come play basketball. This is allowing that basketball player to make money off of their name, image, likeness, social media. They can make appearances. They can sign autographs. They can coach at camps. It's all of those things. So we'll get some of your thoughts. Brady in Indiana, thanks for calling the show, Brady. What do you got?
Tom, what's up, man?
Wow.
All right. Name, image, and likeness. Here's my problem with it.
Uh-oh.
You have six sports that the NCAA recognizes as equivalency sports where every academic benefit is paid. Then the rest are athletes that are paying to go to school. And you want to endorse making money? Until the NCAA gives every student athlete full academic benefits, how can you say name, image, and likeness should be at the top of the list?
Okay.
I don't have a problem letting athletes make money off of it, but let's equal the playing field for every athlete first.
A little bit of you're spinning a couple of things there, and I appreciate the call, Brady. Let me start by saying that not every sport, for example, Olympic sports, I won't use the phrase non-revenue generating sports because, frankly, there are sports that are non-scholarship. Swimming and diving is a good one as an example where not everybody's on scholarship. So they don't count to your six, but there are some scholarship athletes. The rest of the kids that are paying tuition, that's actually part of the sport revenue that's generated. It's super complicated. But I will say this, and this is always my answer to this. I went to school as a violin scholarship. Why is it that I could, as a full scholarship kid, It, why is it? And for example, I'll use Indiana as a general example. Indiana has one of the best music programs in the country, or had when I was a kid. You could go to Indiana as a full violin scholarship kid. You could also go to Indiana just as a violin kid. Either way, with or without the scholarship, there was nothing that prevented me from utilizing their world-class facilities, their best teachers in the world, getting all of the benefits that came with the scholarship if I had it, and also charging more for lessons because I went to Indiana, getting better orchestra gigs because I went to Indiana. All we're doing through the process of name and image and likeness is treating athletes the same way they treat every other kid on campus. And if scholarship is the question, then you got to ask yourself why a kid that tutors in math has no limitations, even if they're under scholarship, to how they sell their services. But you're going to limit Keyshawn just because he plays football. That's the inequity that's being righted here.
Thank you for
well said.
I went to church on that.
You
sorry.
Did. Thank well, you, because well I was definitely like,
I'm like, what do I do with my hands?
The math ain't mathing for me.
How do they scout you playing the violin? I'm like, I don't understand how they. What did they come
can
to?
Can you please demonstrate
school?
How you look playing a violin again?
I mean, honest, the best.
You play in front of them. Is that what you do? Like they bring you in and you play in front of them?
Yeah, you do
don't
auditions.
You know, you're talking to a musical legend over
you
there.
Asking no, no. Him I mean, how he got the scholarship.
He can pick his school.
I got air quotes discovered by Juilliard when I played Carnegie Hall, but I played like
hello. He
Lincoln,
was like,
like
you,
Kennedy
we
Center,
have
Lincoln
options.
Center, all that stuff.
Musical man, options. What you think? You're the only one that could be great at something?
I'm
that man over
him.
There is a musical legend.
But yes, like
well,
the way
have our
a lot of times what
this
happens
person
is.
Over to my left, let's have our conversation.
A lot of times the way it would happen is, let's say you have a really good teacher. That teacher uh-huh. will call somebody at a school, just like they do for coaches, okay. and say, you should really hear this kid.
And then play.
You fly in and you take your, you do an audition.
Okay.
And most of those auditions, because classical music is figured out what the rest of the world should, most of those auditions are done behind a curtain where uh-huh. nobody knows who you are, what you look like, what your gender is, what your race is. You are simply judged on your ability to play. And at the
so
end of that audition,
they're listening.
And then they'll
that's
come back
up.
And be like, hey,
no, they're watching you.
We're offering you a full scholarship. So,
that's what's up.
But by having a full scholarship to certain schools, you get better jobs. You get better
yeah.
orchestra
I
jobs.
Understand.
You can charge more. Like, and that's why I use Indiana, and I can't speak to now, but Indiana used to have one of the best violin teachers in the world. So just like the best coaches in the world get you better opportunity, so do the best teachers. And if why would I be treated? I didn't go to Indiana, but had I gone to Bloomington, why would I look different on their campus? Why would I be treated different than a kid that played basketball for Indiana? Like, we're both getting the benefit of world-class facilities, name recognition, all of those things, and I can go make money on it. Basketball player can't. Like,
yeah.
it's a fail to the system.
So, in conclusion, that man is a musical legend.
No. I'm a musical unknown.
Girl,
I peaked when I was 10. I peaked when I was 10. David in St. Louis, thanks for calling the show. David, what do you got on name, image, likeness?
Yeah, guys, a question. Now that NCAA has been found to be unfair and corrupt, can players like Jerry Bush and many others who have been penalized get compensated some way, somehow, and even get their Heisman Trophy back? What do you guys think about that?
I mean, Reggie Bush is, I think, who you're mentioning. Key, you went off on this earlier, right? Like, you believe that Reggie should get the Heisman back?
Yeah, I mean, if he wants it back, give it back the Heisman and call it a day. But they're not going to do it because they don't want to admit wrong. So it's like, I get it. And if I was Reggie, though, I probably wouldn't even ask for it back, to be honest with
you. He already did, though.
No, I wouldn't have.
I know, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I said before, I would have took the damn trophy, slice it up with a chainsaw in 1,000 different pieces.
Doc, do you
put
know
it in
he,
the S the USPS he, box? He, put it and set it in. There you go. You can have it.
He would have been dragged so bad if that trophy came back in pieces.
I would have gave it.
It'd have been
that'd
even
be amazing.
Worse.
No,
and
that'd
I told
be incredible.
Him to kiss my, you know what?
Where the sun don't shine.
Monica, our good friend here, Monica McNutt, got an Emmy nomination. If you win an Emmy. Like I've always said, if I ever win an Emmy, like I'm carrying that thing everywhere. Like my goal in life is to carry any of the, like if a Grammy and an Emmy, you set them down at a table. You're like, how's it going? I'm just going to set these here to hold my place. If someone took your Emmy and if you win an Emmy and somebody takes it, like you'd want it back, right?
I don't know if I would send it back, honestly.
I wouldn't send
if
it back.
If I would send it back.
You would?
In 1,000 pieces. Y'all can have it going, man.
I'm still trying to figure out what kind of saw cuts up a Heisman's. Like,
you,
those things feel like they're heavy.
Yeah, but you already know that I did my work on the field. We saw Reggie Bush. Our eyes told us that whatever happened off the field didn't contribute to his success on the field.
So if they send
period.
Him, if they send him the Heisman back, you want him to saw it up and send it back again?
No, you don't. He can keep it.
I
the
just
first time
wanted,
around,
like,
he should have sawed it up.
Again, I'll take it back to music, though. I'll say this. When I played, I didn't care about any of the record plaques I ever played on. And mm-hmm. after I stopped playing and was no longer around music, one of the things I actually wanted to do, just because like I can look back at it and say, man, I'm proud of that accomplishment. I went back and ordered all the gold and platinum records, not all of them, but a lot of them that I've played on that I was proudest of through the process.
I'm just here for this.
But they
didn't
try to take your plaques from you.
No, no, but what I'm saying is that, like,
cheating the game.
No,
vanilla.
No, what I'm saying is that, like, isn't it okay if the thing is like he just wants to look at his mantle and see, like,
no,
I did that.
Fine. That's why they should give it back. But if they not, it's just like, whatever, man.
It's a dude on Instagram that does replica shoes. I'm sure he can get a replica Heisman if he really wants.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Jim in Buffalo calling the show. Jim, what are your thoughts, name, image, likeness? What you got for us, bud?
Well, I want to bring up compensating the athletes with the ball money by buying them an annuity or a trust that they would draw on when they're 60. Plus, also, these young athletes who sustain life-changing injuries lose their insurance once they graduate. They need to give them insurance so that over time they still have insurance for that injury. And also, how much of this is going to be subsidized by big booster groups?
I'll hang up now.
Thanks.
I'll start on the back end of the last question. I think a lot of it will be subsidized
80%.
By people that have affiliations with a university in particular. Number two, the medical, the annuity sort of thing, that's what I believe in terms of a player's compensation on the field, generating the revenue on the field, the stadiums, things of that nature, the jersey sales. Yes, put it in an annuity, they could get it later on. That's what I think. I've always thought that, though.
A major difference, though, is that that comes, again, got
to
keep stressing this.
That has nothing to do with the NIL.
Right.
Nothing to do with that.
So to the question of why don't they do that, that would involve the schools deciding they are outwardly paying these kids in some ways. And that's not in existence currently. Name, image, likeness is separate from that. And they should. But it will create and I'm not smart enough to understand it, but like.
It'll create an imbalance with the conferences and schools.
And the revenue-generating sports.
Yeah. The revenue generating sports.
It also creates complications for the school from an accounting side because now all of the players are legit
employees.
They're employees, so you've got to provide different
types
of health care.
That note, before we go, I know we got to go back to the calls, but do we think that NIL now will quiet the conversation of the actual schools figuring out a way to let the kids in on a piece of the pie?
No.
I think it does.
No, I don't think it will.
There's
only a certain amount of people that's going to benefit from the NIL,
but
there's only a certain amount.
Know the schools do not want to actually get into paying the athletes. Like
Don't know what the number is. They give a little stipend. What was I getting in school? I was getting like $1,600 a month. That wasn't nothing.
I will say this: if I was college football, there are a couple of things I would have done. I would have expanded the playoffs this week too, because college football playoff fans hate change. So just rip the Band-Aid off, get it all to them at once. But I think I would have looked more of these options if they had been more proactive in the first place. Like, getting all of that done at once would have let everybody yell and scream. If it happens in little stages, I still think every time there's going to be an eruption.
I think this kicks the can further down the road from the school side, because now they're going to be like, you guys are good. You can do your own thing. We're not stopping you.
Well, you guys want to chime in, we're going to let you. 888-SAY ESPN, 888-729-3776. The calls will continue. We'll do caller roulette next. KJZ on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Monica McNutt, Jason Fitz, sitting with Keyshawn Johnson. We're brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's unlimited ultimate plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. All on America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com. It's caller roulette time. Also, shameless plug quickly before I forget. Don't forget to watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on ESPN Sunday. I'll be hanging out there. I'm just saying. Got to get that plug in. All right, let's get some caller roulette going. We're going to spin the wheel. Yates, you got it. Alan's going to spin the wheel, and we'll see what we get. Spinning, it's spinning, it's spinning, and it has come back. Line four. All right, line four, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Line four. Or not.
Line four. I mean, wow.
Wow.
You just let down God and your country and your mama.
Jeez.
Everybody. I'm just saying. Got to be ready. All right. Spin the wheel again.
Odd number this time.
Oh, my God. It's line five.
There
All right.
It is.
We're tempting fate. Let's see if line five is better than line five. Let's go. Or line four. Let's go.
Hey, guys. It's Mason in Utah. I just wanted to bring out the point of the name, image, and likeness. I was a father. And my wife was a collegiate golfer, and I had to work three part-time jobs. So I just wanted to make out the point that I love the name, image, likeness, and the ability to make money. It would have been nice while my wife was golfing, and I didn't have to work as much. I just wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah, that's exactly why I like it because, again, like I said before, not necessarily about fathers and things of that nature, but about a kids being able that are in school to potentially help out their parents. Now, on the flip side of things, he was a father. His wife or girlfriend at the time, I'm assuming, was a golfer. You could have used her in many ads and many things to subsidize his workability and help the family out. So, absolutely.
I do want to point out, though, that this is not, hey, I'm a student athlete. Give me an endorsement. Like, there's also going to be work involved here, just so folks are very clear.
Yeah, and you're also still going to have to be good at your job. Mm-hmm. Like, there is the other complication that we don't talk about very much, which is, like, what happens when you get that endorsement deal and then you have a bunch of bad games in a row? Like, you're going to get a little extra pressure when there's, you know, there's a little skin in the game. It's just, that feels like it's real. Yates, spin the wheel again for us.
Hey, adapt and survive. They can handle it.
Line six, getting all the big numbers. Line six, what you got? Thanks for calling KJ and Z.
It's Robert from Virginia. And I don't think Philadelphia is going to trade Ben Simmons. And what I would do if I was the coach, I'd have him shoot foul shots an hour a day for 2 weeks. And then get in front of me and see if he can make 20 out of 25. And keep doing that until he can do that. And I really believe if he can get his confidence, it would totally change his career.
Robert, I don't think that you're wrong there, and that's a very old-school approach. I don't know that it's actually feasible. I will say this. There's one thing to practice something and to prepare and become a workout warrior and be able to make them in front of your coach or whatever your test would be, Robert. There's another thing to do that in a ball game, and we're working with the confidence issue here when it comes to Ben Simmons.
All right, let's roll the let's spin the wheel again. And we have line two coming up. Line two, thanks for calling the show. What do you got?
Hey, this is Dennis from Delaware. Hey, Keyshawn, I hate to bring up Vince Young as a USC grad, but he definitely fits the bill as an NFL player, a quarterback that had a quick start. I mean, in 2006, he won the Rookie of the Year, and then in a couple of years later, he was gone because of a limited skill set. And I think Justin Herbert is as smooth as heck, but I could see Tua having the same type of career as Vince Young, a couple of good years, and then falling off the map because of a limited skill set. What do you think?
Here's what I would say, Delaware. You are 100% correct, but there's always a but. It was more about Vince Young's attitude and mentality and not about his ability. I'm talking about someone's ability.
I'm talking about not – I don't think Justin Herbert is all of a sudden going to turn Ryan Leaf on us. Just loses – just – no. I think Vince Young just stopped working. Like, he got to the pinnacle and thought, oh, I'm VY, I'm just going to keep doing it instead of just working. To the point where he – you know, things went south, and he got into confrontations with Jeff Fisher, who in front of the team, you know, he walked out on Jeff Fisher in front of the team in a team meeting. So that is a little bit different than what I'm talking about, but clearly I understand.
The combination of both ability, physical ability, and the mental capacity.
Can you just called that man Delaware?
He did. You caught that, Yates?
I yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, I kind of like that. I was like,
that's my man from Delaware. He called like every other day.
His name's Dennis.
Dennis, I know from Delaware.
Delaware, like just make everybody the city they're from. Like that
man,
saves
that's what you're doing. You're dating and people aren't serious. You put them in your name and your phone.
All right, girl, you.
Fact. Wow. Whatever you say, Maryland.
Yeah, whatever you say, Maryland. All right, way to go, Virginia.
We ain't dating.
You dating that many guys with the same name that you got to differentiate them by their city?
At one point, it was like, I'm not putting your real name in my phone until you show me, give me a reason why. Everybody got a nickname.
Oh, so it's not even like, it's not even like James from?
You giving out all the goods. Charlie's standing over there at the first take desk like, girl, be quiet. What you doing?
Now, I definitely know a lot of touring musicians that have like her name and then the last name is the city. Definitely. Like that's
listen, people don't get their names on your phone until they show reason. Now I am not dating.
Hey man, let's get back
with
to
names.
Callers.
I wouldn't even remember. Like what? Matters. How do you awkwardly ask for the name again?
Y'all got
you
all these people.
Okay, fine. That's
y'all got all business. These people watching us, nervous and panicking. They all looking at their phones. Come on, man. All
right, spin the wheel, Yates. Like you come back. Hey, like Marilyn, what's your actual name? You're not on my phone. I'm just saying. All right, line two again. Line two. What you got? Thanks for calling the show. Line two dropped. Spin it. Line five. Again with line five. What you got? Thanks for calling, Key Jamesy.
Hey, Sean from Athens, Georgia. I think Reggie Bush should get his Heisman back and all those wins should be reinstated.
Yes. We said that a bunch of times on this show. Bring
whatever.
It all back.
Give him the trophy back. Give him the wins. We don't care.
Spin
we know
the wheel. Wheel.
We know we won the national title. We're not worried about all that.
The wheel comes back. Line one. Oh, line one. What you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Andy, North Carolina, two quick NIL questions. Do the athletes have to disclose how much money they're getting and who it's from? And will the NCAA institute revenue sharing?
The only thing I've seen on disclosing is you're supposed to subscribe to your school's bylaws in terms of like alcohol and stuff like that. But other than that, they don't have to disclose.
They have to tell their school everything that they're signing, I think. So their school, I think.
You don't have to disclose the money, though.
Right. But they don't have to disclose that. And they don't have to disclose that to any of us. And revenue sharing, I mean, my God, we had to fight this long just to let an athlete sell their own individual name, image, likeness. I can't imagine how many decades it'll take to get them to give
up
a piece
greedy.
Of their actual pie, like one little tiny slice of pizza at a time. So, Key, I'm coming over Sunday afternoon. Like, you want me to bring dry ice or just a bag of ice?
I have security at my house.
And a garage.
And they will not allow you to get close to
the I have a shirt that says I'm and then just a W with a big old key on it. And then people are like, oh, yeah.
Nope. If you see a guy about 5'7 walking toward my house with tattoos.
I'm 5'9 and a quarter, thank you very much. I'll take that quarter inch,
too. That's a guess.
Oh, my God. Monica McNutt. Keyshawn Johnson. I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great and safe 4th of July weekend, everybody. Woo!
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.